All right, we started recording. Al-Adl is one of the names of Allah that means the balance giver or the balance creator or the creator of the balance. And to understand this name, let's look at the laws of nature first, because Allah created balance in the laws of nature. I'm going to give you one example and ask you to give me maybe more examples. The first example of Al-Adl or the balance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created is that the oxygen and the carbon dioxide. We breathe oxygen, breathe in oxygen, breathe out carbon dioxide. Now, if there's no balance, the earth should have run out of oxygen long time ago. So what's the balance here? Yes, here.
I'm going to give an example.
Yes.
So rich and the poor.
Oh, no, about this one. Go ahead.
So you have plants that take in carbon dioxide and take out oxygen.
Exactly. So it's balanced, right? How about the water?
Oh, I was going to give another example.
Go ahead.
So there's the sun and the moon. If it's dark all the time, then solar panels and, plants can't grow. But if it's, always daytime, it's going to be troubling. And, people won't be able to sleep. It's going to be...
Balance between day and night, yes.
Predator and prey. If there's more predators in the world, there'd be less prey. That means that they would eat up all the little animals. But if there's more smaller animals in the world than there were predators, then the smaller animals would eat up all the plants and everything, and we wouldn't have any more oxygen. So Allah made an even balance between the predators and prey, so they could stay balanced.
Good. How about the location of the Earth? Is it closer to the sun? What happens if the earth is closer to the sun?
Everything will burn.
Will burn. What happens if we are
freezing? We will become the
red be freezing. Planet. How about the centrifugal force? The centrifugal force? Yes.
Yeah.
The gravity of the sun is so big, it's so humongous. It should swallow the earth. What is keeping the earth from being swallowed by the sun is what? Yes, exactly. The centrifugal force. You know, when you take a rope with a rock at the end?
I think it's spelled that way, but more centrifugal.
Centrifugal?
Centrifugal.
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 Well,
it's spelled that way.
Spelled centrifugal, pronounced centrifugal. I will train on this. Okay. So you can see Allah created the balance in everything. Now, this is the balance of the laws of nature. Do we have control over it? We don't. Allah created this balance and He maintains this balance. How about in the laws of Islam, which we have control over? Allah ordered us to keep the balance in everything in our life. And the most important thing that we need to keep balance to is the balance between the body and the soul. Allah says in the Quran that I have created a human out of clay. Then, so that's the first part, which is what? Clay. That's the materialistic part. Then when I breathed into him from my spirit, Allah breathed spirit into this clay, becomes a human. So we have the spiritual part, which comes by the secret of life, which is the secret of life, which is the breathing from Allah. And we have the materialistic part, which is the clay. If we may use an example of the car and the driver of the car, have I used this example before with you guys? You're not tested, huh? You're not tested. Did you memorize Sabaha? You did it? With zero and give me 4 tickets. So, did I use before the body and the soul like the driver and the car? So basically your soul tells your body what to do. It's just like the driver of the car. Turns right, the body is the car, the soul is the driver. Turn right, turn left, go front, go back. Now, the soul doesn't know much about the body. If you look at the driver of the car and you ask this driver about the engine, how does it work, oxygen and the pistons and the engine capacity and, all of these things. Would the driver know the details? The driver just knows gas, brakes, steering wheel, maybe signals. Okay, but he don't have no clue how does it work. Same for us. Do you have any clue how our body, not any clue, do we have knowledge, complete knowledge of how our body works? It is done automatically by Allah. Allah is controlling it by the laws of nature. You don't know what's going on even inside you. So we're not saying, in order to show how the miraculous is the birth, is the creation of Allah, I don't have to point to stars or anywhere. I tell you, look into yourself. Look into yourself. Do you know how your body functions?
No.
We know little, but we don't know many things. Do you know how the brain works? I mean, they always say the brain that knows how it works, the brain that knows how it works, is sophisticated enough. How do you say that? No, I'll take it back. They say the brain that is sophisticated enough to know how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It shouldn't happen because to know how your brain works, you need a higher level of sophistication than your own brain.
Oh, that's
so you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there's no way a brain can know how it works because you need more than this brain to be able to understand how it works.
What if you have two brains?
Well,
do you mean
Siamese
twins?
Yeah.
What
am I saying?
Oh, well, you have brains work separately, but they perform similar functions. Like in that case, sometimes twins, one twin on the left side controls the left arm and that left side of the body, while the right side controls the right part. So it's not necessarily two individual people with the same brain, but like the brain has separate parts that go to the individuals.
So you can see, if you want to really see the miracle of creation, just don't look far away. Look into yourself. Look into yourself. And then Allah says that the creations of heavens and earth are more difficult than the creations of the humans. Are more difficult and tougher, and it's much more magnificent than the creation of humans. And of course you can see when you learn about astronomy and all of these planets and stars far away, you can see that clearly, that it's really more, it requires more, it's a much more developed, sophisticated creation than our just own bodies. However, our own bodies, we don't know that. Just like the driver of the car have no clue about the car, how it works, you know, or knows very little about it, we also don't know. All we know is just move the control, the tongue, control the ears, the eyes, the, you know. You know how to control a few things, but can you control the digestion of food in your brain and your stomach? How is it being digested? You have no clue. All you have to do is just eat. And then everything is taken care of. How? Well, you don't know. You don't know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the body, which is the materialistic part, and the soul, which is the driver of this, the one that controls this materialistic body. Now, which one is more important? If I give you a gift, the body is like the rag of the gift. The soul is the inside, the gift inside, hidden inside. Which one is important, the box or the gift?
The gift.
The gift. The soul is more important than the body. Because good soul will order the body to do good things. Bad souls will order the body to do bad things. You see? So Allah wants, when we keep the balance between the body and the soul, do we treat them equally? If we do that, then we're wrong. Because equality is not justice. Equality is not always justice.
Yeah.
There is. Sometimes equality becomes unjust. Like if I make a good guy equal to a bad guy, this is not fair. Okay? So there's justice and there's equality. So when we deal with the body and the soul, should we give more attention to the body or to the soul? Well, which one is much more important? The soul. So you need to provide care for the soul much more than you provide care for the body. But if we look at the culture that we live in, we find that, and you know, we find that this culture gives a lot more attention to the body than to the soul. Like for the body, you have very good health insurance, you take very good medications, the best medications, you take, your, when you wash your body, you have the best lotion and the best soap and the best shampoo, and you know, you have the perfume, you have all of these things to take care of the body. And people do use these things to take care of their bodies. But that's not bad. The bad thing is that what are you doing to take care of your, what are you doing to care for your soul? The body needs food, right? So the soul needs food. The body needs vitamins. The soul needs vitamins. The body needs medication. The soul needs medication. The body gets sick. The soul gets sick. The body needs immunization, and the soul needs immunization as well. Okay, so you can notice here there is no spiritual food available in that. In the soul, it needs a spiritual food, it needs a spiritual medication, it needs a spiritual vitamins, it needs a spiritual immunization and all of these things. Okay, now, the Quran provides us with a lot of this food for the soul. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that to the Prophet, I have revealed to you a spirit from us. So, the Quran, Allah is calling it a spirit. And indeed, it is a spirit because it is like a spiritual food for the soul. Okay, now, what are the spiritual vitamins that we get from the Quran? We have three spiritual vitamins we get from the Quran. The first one is the love of Allah, the vitamin love of Allah. The second one called the vitamin of very strong desire to go to Jannah. And the third vitamin is called you're very afraid of going to hellfire, fear of hellfire. So three vitamins, love of Allah, inspiration, it's inspiration. Three spiritual motivations. Yes, love of Allah, desire to go to Jannah, fear of going to hellfire. Those are the three spiritual motivations that motivates you to do things and to sacrifice precious time, precious effort, and all of these things to sacrifice for the sake of Allah. Okay? Now, there are viruses also that comes to the soul. The viruses. The worst virus that comes to the soul is the shaitan. That is a big virus to the soul. When it comes, it really infects the soul badly, and the person starts being controlled by bad soul. So the bad body controlled by bad soul is going to do bad things. Okay? So, you might get be infected by the shaitan. So where do you get the treatment from? You got the treatment from the Quran. Allah tells you about ways to deal with the virus shaitan when it comes to you. There are immunizations. Now,
I'm just thinking what my science class would learn about that.
Learn about what?
Oh, immunizations and how to get rid of diseases.
Right. Immunization here in the for the spiritual immunization is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first of all provides you with the vitamins. Now, the love of Allah, how does the Quran inspire the love of Allah? How Allah is seeking our love?
To worship.
First of all, by giving you gifts, giving us gifts. Like if I give you $1,000, wouldn't you love me?
Yeah.
What if I make them $5,000, wouldn't you love me more? And the number goes bigger, the love goes bigger. So by giving you gifts, I can seek your love. And that's what Allah is doing. Allah is giving us gifts to seek our love. And then Allah reminds us with these gifts in the Quran so that we don't forget. Say, I created for you eyes, I created you ears, I created for you tongue, I created for you this, I have created for you that. Always reminding in the Quran, I've created, and there are general gifts or general favors for everybody, like the sun, the moon, okay? The earth is a safe floor, the sky is a safe roof, okay? These are for everybody, it's not special for anybody. And then there are special gifts, like Prophet Muhammad had special gift, which is being a messenger. You're gifted in science, she's gifted in, you know, there are special gifts that Allah gives to people that is not for everybody. Having a Muslim family, that's a gift. Do you know that? I was talking to a person who was Latino and became a Muslim. He told me, you can't believe how does it look like when you grow in a non-Muslim family or when you grow in a Latino family. Your mother coming at the end of the day drunk, carried by her boyfriend to just take her to her bedroom to dump her in the bed. Sometimes he spends the night there, sometimes he doesn't. Your sister is out of the home for 2 days, you don't know where, and then she comes drunk and blah blah, and messed up families. He said, just imagine you're growing up in such a family. You don't know what is it, as how much blessings you're gifted with to grow up in a Muslim family. You don't know what is, you know, that's the biggest blessing. Because when he became a Muslim, he realized and saw Muslim families how they raised their children, and the experience of a Muslim kid in a Muslim family, and he was so, wow. He said, wow, you don't know how my childhood was. You know, a mother wearing hijab, a brother praying, and by teaching manners, teaching Quran. You know, his family, in the particular, this guy's family, he said, no. And he said, my family is typical. Like typical Latino family from that place that he was from. And he wasn't from Mexico. He was from Latino country. Yeah, South America. Yeah, somewhere in South America. So, that's a gift. You don't realize it. You don't realize it unless you miss it. Now, being healthy, you're taking it for granted, by the way. When you start becoming old like myself, and you start having health problems, you say, oh, wow, I wish I'm back young where I didn't have to worry about diseases and sicknesses, and I didn't have to take 5,000 medications every day. I take about 7-8 pills every day to continue functioning. It is. I didn't feel this until I didn't feel this. That how precious, how gifted was I when I was young and healthy. Until I got old. Same thing. Don't take it for granted. Just enjoy it and thank Allah for it, and know that it doesn't last. That's just, you know, enjoy it as long as it lasts and thank Allah for it. So Allah gives you gifts and He keeps reminding you to seek your love. Allah is known to be Al-Wadud, means the one who seeks the love of the creation, which is under Him. He is the Creator, but He seeks the love of the creation. That's a lot of kindness from Allah, because He seeks your love. How? By giving you gifts. Okay, and remind you about the gifts if you forget. Okay, and He runs you through, you know, tests and calamities and, you know, things that wake you up and bring you back to Islam and bring you back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's how Allah seeks love. Then seeks our love in the Quran. That's how we get the love of Allah. When we read the Quran, by learning about these favors and thanking Allah for them and appreciating them. How about the love of going to Jannah? This inspired from the Quran in so many verses. The word Allah talked about the Jannah. Allah talks about the Jannah, description of the Jannah. If you, for example, look at Surah Al-Waqi'ah and see the description of Jannah in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, You know, and Allah says that there are cute little kids, boys, wandering around them. You know, how is it when you look at, when you see a cute little kid? You know, it's a joy. It's really joy. I like to watch them, and they are running, and cute little girls, oh my God, running, playing, and you know, you love even to play with them. It's beautiful. So Allah is saying that there are beautiful little boys going around them, okay, and sometimes them serving them with the drinks and serving them with food. And Allah talks about, whoa, you can't believe the entertainment activities that you have in Jannah. Chatting, talking. Every tree in Jannah has so much in it that it will take you a lot of time to finish the entertainment of one tree. You know, it's just, you imagine. You want to eat something. You look at this, for example, the bird flying, and you wish to eat it fried or barbecued. You just make the wish, it comes to you as you wished. You look, you see an apple, and you want to pick it up. So the branch comes to you. You pick up the apple. And then the Prophet goes, tells us more, and the Quran tells us more, that the apple that you eat in Jannah is different than the apple you eat in this world. The only similar things between them is just the name. This is an apple, and this is an apple. But the taste, oh my God. You know, you can't believe, as you read the Quran and you read about all these descriptions, and the boys and the beautiful servant women, that will, you will be the queen. You will be the queen. And the women of Jannah will be your servants. If you show up, they disappear. Like, if you married in Jannah, and usually all women are married in Jannah. When your husband, when your husband is looking at the women of Jannah, if you appear, if you show up, they disappear. It's like your light covers them. Allah, Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, Allah made me four wives in Jannah. Mm-hmm. Khadija, Asiya, the wife of the Pharaoh, Maryam, alayhi salam. No, Fatima is his daughter. Forgot his fourth one. But just, if a woman, the one, the Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Prophet, if a woman is married to two believers, one died or divorced or whatever, but she married to two, which one she becomes a wife of a Jannah? He said the best. The best one will get her. The one that has more manners, better manners, more hasanat, gets the woman if she's married to more than one man in this life. So the one who wins is the best. He's the one who wins her. The women of Jannah would be nothing compared to the believing women in Jannah.
Wait, I thought that the Muslim men could marry more than one woman, but it wasn't good for a Muslim woman to marry more than one man.
Yes, but when she marries a man and then he dies, and then she marries another one, she gets divorced, and then she marries the third one. So, Allah will make her be the wife of the best of them, the best one of them. But all women, believing women in Jannah are married. But they are so beautiful that when the sun comes out, the stars disappear. The women of Jannah will be like the stars. And when she appears, they all disappear. She covers all of them by her light and shining. Yes. And so you can't believe.
Are you allowed to, like, if you know someone, or like someone you know that might not be in Jannah, are you allowed to, like, talk to them in hellfire?
No. You would never, ever have any desire to talk to anybody. Actually, you would dislike all people in hellfire.
What if it's your, like, your friend?
Okay, Allah says in Surah, I'm coming to you. Allah says in Surah Abasa that in the day of judgment, The brother would run away from his brother. The wife would run away from the husband. And the husband would run away from the wife. And the father would run away from the children. And the children would run away from the father. Everybody cares about nothing but himself or herself. These relationships in the day of judgment, now when they go to Jannah, now they start bonding in Jannah. Go ahead.
Is Jannah 3D or 4D? Like you said, that angels and jinn are living in a different dimension, kind of.
Oh, Allah made it something, said something very nice about Jannah. Allah said, everything you desire, you get.
But like, say...
if you desire 4D, you get 4D. If you desire 5D, you get 5D. Whatever you desire, you get. And then Allah says, and I have my own surprises that they have never ever can think of. No brain can ever think of. And no brain can ever imagine. Can ever imagine. Whatever you can't imagine, Allah will have surprises way exceeding to the maximum that you can imagine and ask. So, rule number one, what you ask for, you get. Rule number two, but you will not ask for something that is not allowed by Allah. In other words, you would have no more temptation that will take you away from Allah. Your temptations in Jannah, okay, will be the ones for the halal things around you that Allah has provided for you.
Is it true that if you're like a hafiz or something, you're allowed to choose?
Make shafa'ah. Make shafa'ah? Go ahead, continue.
Choose some people that are going to go to hell to come to heaven with you?
Yeah, that's called shafa'ah. Yes. You're allowed to make shafa'ah to 70 people of your family. The ones who taught you Quran, 70, yes. Now, shafa'ah has to be, it's a different subject that we'll talk about, but shafa'ah, Allah has to allow you to make shafa'ah to the person. You can't make shafa'ah to a person like Prophet Muhammad said, I cannot make shafa'ah for my uncle Abu Talib because he's a da'i as a non-Muslim. I'm not allowed to make shafa'ah for him. So there was nothing that he can do because Allah will not allow you. So Allah will allow this person who's in Muraysh Quran to make shafa'ah to 70 people from his family.
From his family?
Yes. Who qualify for shafa'ah? There are a lot of people who are disqualified from shafa'ah. It means that Allah will not allow anyone to make the shafa'ah for them.
What are those disqualifications? Like being a non-believer and what else?
Being a criminal, non-believer, there are so many. The people who are doomed to hellfire forever.
Oh, really bad.
Yeah, forever. Not the ones in the first layer of hellfire, it becomes empty. Because everybody in the first layer of hellfire will eventually go to Jannah. After spending so many thousands of years in hellfire, cooking and paying for their sins, eventually Allah will make shafa'ah to them and take them to Jannah.
So it's like all the believers, but all the people who believe in Allah will eventually.
Eventually, yes. But eventually is according
a long time.
Yeah, according to what I have, what I remember is that the longest one will spend in hellfire as long as the creation of earth. So the creation of earth, they say it's 14 billion years ago. That's 1,400 billion years ago.
Still haven't even ended.
And still haven't even ended. So that's the longest one. The last one will get out of Jannah. So, what good does it do to enjoy 60 years of life and then go to Jannah for 60 million years or whatever, 60 billion years? So it's not that something that we can count on. You can count on, yes, but not... Not really. It's like the last thing you want to count on. But like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm going to take pictures.
Thank you.
Okay. I took pictures of everything. So Allah makes you love Jannah by descriptions. And if you read the description, read Surah Al-Waqi'ah and read the descriptions of Jannah in Surah Al-Waqi'ah. Oh, yeah, you fly with it. You fly with it. And the sound in Jannah. Just imagine you are going to Jannah. What kind of sound you'll be listening to? Ah. What kind of feeling you will have?
You know that, I forgot what animal it's called, but it brought Prophet Muhammad to Jannah?
No, okay. The Buraq took Prophet Muhammad from Mecca to Jerusalem. And then that's it.
Oh.
And then he took him back from Jerusalem to Mecca. He went up to Jannah with Angel Jibreel.
Oh, okay.
Angel Jibreel took him up to Jannah.
Will there be animals like the Buraq in Jannah?
Oh, whatever you want. That's a rule. Whatever you imagine, you will get, and Allah will have surprises that you can never imagine. You know, it is the house of peace, the house of pleasure. Everlasting. Just imagine what kind of sound you will be hearing. What kind of smell you will be hearing, smelling when you go to Jannah. Just imagine, what smell is that going to be?
I just thought something funny, like what if someone's wishes, they really like Skrillex music, right? So their wishes, their entire house is surrounded by the da-na-da-na-da-na-da.
The amazing part is that all your temptations will be compatible with what Allah offers you. You will never ever wish anything that's not permissible. You will not wish it. So if your father or your spouse or your child in hellfire, you despise them. You don't have any love to them. And you will never ever ask for anything that you are not eligible to get. You will always get what you ask for. And you will not ask for something that's not for you. And then the top pleasure of Jannah is seeing the face of Allah. That's what makes difference in the ranking.
So can you wish to see Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam?
Definitely. And you will, inshallah.
Do even the lowest people of Jannah see Allah every day?
The lowest people of Jannah, no. They get to see Allah every once in a while. They get invited. But not every day. The ones of the top layer, they get to see Allah every day and night. So there are three things in Jannah. Okay? If they are taken away from Jannah, the Jannah doesn't become the way it is. Which is number one, is the seeing Allah. This is number one, seeing Allah. The people of hellfire, if they get to see Allah, they will live in pleasure, even though they are burning. They will not feel any pain. They will feel so much joy that it will override any kind of punishment they are having. So that's why they don't get to see the face of Allah at all. The second thing that goes in Jannah, that you don't get bored at all. New things, new clothes, changing every day. Jannah changes. Okay. And the third thing is that everlasting. If they tell you, you go to Jannah for 1 million years, you would think and say, what is after the 1 million years are over? Where am I going? It becomes a worry, right? It's like, okay, only 1 million years? What after the 1 million years, where am I going? And it becomes a source of worry, right? It's like, okay, exactly. And that's why Jannah is everlasting, okay? So non-stop, everlasting, seeing the face of Allah, you never get bored. So this description of Jannah makes you want to sacrifice time. You want to do Quran, you want to go pray, you want to do good deeds, you want to volunteer, it's a good motivation. Love of Jannah is a big, big, big motivation to the heart. And then the fear of hellfire. Ya Allah, if you read the how Allah is talking about the people of hellfire, drinking from a liquid that's made of the urination of and the vomiting and the spoiled blood, burned blood, all of this gathers in the bottom of the hellfire and boils together. And then Allah said, when they are thirsty, we give them to drink. We provide to them drink. But what kind of drink? From that one. And this is when the people who drink in this life alcohol, Allah will make them drink from that liquid in the day of judgment, in the hellfire. And then scorpions as big as the elephants, the snakes, ya Allah, there is another kind of punishment called the sa'ud. The sa'ud is climbing. That Allah, those were the people on the very lowest level of hellfire. Allah will raise a mountain to them. And they will made to believe that if they climb this mountain, they will decrease the amount of pain they are suffering. So the mountain is made of rocks and the rocks are on fire. So it's a mountain of fire. So they keep climbing. For years and years they keep climbing. Until when they reach to the top, Allah collapses the mountain and raises another one. And this is special punishment, it's called Sa'ud. And this is assigned to the guy, Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira. He was a very terrible guy who knew that the Prophet is true, but he chose to decline it. So we'll have to stop here because Sarah wants to go to lunch. So inshallah, we'll continue next time. Assalamu alaikum.